Hi, everybody. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the radio show where we talk about the Akashic Records. We talk about your life. Excuse me, we cough a little bit. But most of all, we talk about life in the here and now. There are many people who will talk to you about futures, but the reality here is that we are really being called to live in the now. And we're being called to live in the now in a way that is without guilt, without shame, and without regret. And that is being asked of us because when we shift into that type of reality, guilt-free, shame-free, frustration-free, regret-free, when we shift into that reality, we are much more able, willing, and open to being willing to receive love, to be able to love ourselves. I mean, think about this. Think about if you had nothing to regret in your life. Think about all the decisions that you could have, should have made that if you would just release the shame, frustration, anger, or guilt about making what you're considering to be a wrong decision, what would that life be like? How free would you feel if you didn't have any shame, pain? I'm talking about emotional pain. Shame, emotional pain, guilt, frustration. What would it be like to live like that? And if, in fact, you are living with a bunch of it, I want you to really consider this. I want you to consider making a list of all the things that you feel that you did wrong in your life. Not to make you feel bad, not at all, but to help you rethink those things. Because what the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records are saying is that everything that we have done up until this point into our lives has created and made us who we are. And we have no reason to regret anything. Even if you feel it's been an inappropriate or wrong decision, the path that it took you on actually gave you many blessings. So you're being asked to make a list of all the things that you feel have gone wrong in your life. Whether you blame yourself or other people or God or circumstances, it's really about making a list of all the things that you regret. And then it's going to be very important to take a look at where are the blessings that came from that situation or that choice. And in doing so, we are being asked to release that which no longer serves us, that which we can no longer do anything about, that which is done and over with, and to really take a look at who, in fact, is stopping you from having the life that you want emotionally. Whose voices do you hear when you try to attempt something and feel you're being held back? Who is that person talking to you? Is it your mom or your dad or your teachers or your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents? Who is telling you you can't? And it's time to make peace with those voices and to get very clear about where those voices are coming from, how those voices affect you, how long they've affected you, and at what age you started hearing them and paying attention. This is all a part of you creating a life plan of joy. A life plan of joy. That's our new project, to create a life plan of joy. You cannot feel joy. You cannot even define joy until you release all that no longer serves you, all that gunk that has been clogging up your pistons, if you will. The picture that came to me as I said that was a motor that had a lot of gunk in it, and I don't know anything about motors. But I saw gears going up and down with lots of sludge and junk around them. They could hardly move. And so that's why we get bogged down, because of the old and unproductive belief systems we're carrying around ourselves and what we tell ourselves is truth. And so what I'm sharing with you right now is coming straight from the Akashic Records. It might sound like I'm talking, Donna Fox is talking, but I am telling you what I'm hearing and repeating it. And when I do an individual consultation with someone, same thing happens. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. And then I don't remember afterward, 10 minutes after we're done. So if this program is something you would like to go deeper into, if you would like to have some guidance as to how to work with this life plan of joy, then I would suggest you give a call in and let's talk about it. And you can call, in fact, if you're in the United States or Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. That's the toll-free number. If you're outside of the country and you would like to call in, that would be great. You can dial us at our country code is 011, area code 530-413-4511. You don't have to be out of the country to use that number if you don't mind paying the toll, but it's 530-413-4511. And so you can go ahead and give a call and let's talk about what's going on with your life and where you feel stuck. And let's talk about how we can help you feel unstuck, how you can move forward. Because, again, it's not about what happened in a past life. It's not about what's going to happen in the future. It's about how are you handling life in the here and now. And so we really would like you to join in on the discussion tonight. Give me a call, and we can go ahead and chat about what's up with you. If you're going to, you can also email a question. You can email a question to me at info@akashicwisdom.com, just like the show. Akashic Wisdom, A-K-A-S-H-I-C, wisdom.com. And if you're going to email me a question, that's great. Please include your current legal name. I will not read the full name on the air for privacy's sake, but if you are going to email me a question, please include that. That's how we access the records. The Akashic Records, for those of people who are not familiar, are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic Records, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And so what I do is I access people's Akashic Records, and consultations are based 100% on your questions. And people call me for a variety of different reasons, for guidance, to help understand why certain things have happened in their life, to help understand possibly what the next steps are. The masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records won't tell you what to do, but they'll give you all the information you need in order to make the appropriate decisions. Now, I want to just kind of give you an overview. I'm not channeling anything. Nothing is entering my body. I just am telling you what I see, hear, or sometimes feel, as I said before. I access the Akashic Records through a specific sacred prayer, and this prayer was translated from Mayan to Spanish to English, and it was brought forth by a man by the name of Johnny Prohaska, and I learned my work with the Akashic Records from two wonderful women, that would be Elena Lieberman and Mary Parker. And I am a member of the Akashic Record Consultants International, and we are the only organization that trains and certifies Akashic Record teachers, consultants and teachers. So if that's of interest to you, let me know. So anyway, that's kind of a long way around. But what I want to say is that the Akashic Records help you understand the here and now of your here and now. You know, we all have reasons and purposes things happen in our life. And sometimes we can never figure them out. We don't know why certain things have happened, or possibly we did something wrong to cause it. And I'm here to tell you that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records have assured me in no uncertain terms that there is absolutely nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to make ourselves unlovable to the divine. We are totally and completely embraced and loved, no matter what we think we've done. And everyone has that opportunity. So we want you to understand that. Sometimes it's really hard to accept, though. It's hard to accept because we have been raised to think that we aren't good enough. We've been raised to think that we don't deserve love. We've been raised to think that we aren't worthy of divine love, that we're sinners. And the reality is, everyone deserves divine love. Everyone. And again, I say everyone. I'm not making a distinction for criminals or non-criminals or drug addicts or murderers. The reality is that we are on this planet to experience a human condition. We have choices, and every choice we make today creates our tomorrow. No more, no less. If you don't like the way your life looks, then it's time for you to start changing your beliefs. It's time for you to start taking action in your life. It's time to start taking responsibility for your thoughts. Everybody falls on tough times one way or another. I certainly have. I've been, I've lost two husbands to death. And I've had my share of woe. But it doesn't mean that I'm not eternally grateful for my life and my blessings. What it does mean is that every situation has brought me to a better understanding of not only who I am, but who God is for me. And hopefully that's the same thing that's happened for you. And if you don't have an understanding of who God is, then why don't you give a call? Let's talk about who God is for you. We certainly can do that. I've been working with a couple of different people today who are trying to define who God is for them. You know, we have all these concepts that we're told as children that we have to basically unlearn, because they're not real, and they don't help us. They don't help us anymore, because it's very hard for us to understand, not only now, but even as a child, why we would pray to God for one thing and it wouldn't happen. You know, we have come to learn that God is all we have to do is ask and it shows up. And I'm not saying that it doesn't, but it has everything to do with what the timing is. It has everything to do with what our underlying belief systems are. It has everything to do with our trust factor. In manifestation, is very simple, but it does take some real thought. And so today, I would like to go over with anyone who calls the opportunity to put together a life plan of joy, so that when they're done talking, they have a very good idea of how to continue, and you, the listener, would have a very good idea of how to create your own life plan of joy. I just need somebody to call in and play with. Give a call. Let me know what you're looking for, what's blocking you. Let's just talk about it. Let's, as they say, get her done. There's no point in sitting around being miserable. So again, the phone numbers are 888-429-5471 for anyone who's in the United States or Canada. If you want to dial direct, you certainly can do that at 530-413-4511. Okay? Now, the way I typically run the program is that if no one calls in and I'm tired of talking, I just shut the program down early. So don't wait, because if this is important to you, this is something that you really want to do. You really want to call, and let's have a chat. And if those numbers, for whatever reason, aren't working, please email me, because I won't know it if you don't tell me. So, okay? All right, I want to talk about another book I was reading. I'm going to wait for somebody to call in for A Life Plan of Joy before we continue on. I found another book that you might be interested in for anybody who would like to look at it. The book is called Understanding Other People, The Five Secrets to Human Behavior, and it's by Beverly D. Flaxington. And the Five Secrets to Human Behavior, it's all about me. Two, behavioral styles come between us. Value, speak louder. Don't assume I know what you mean, and I'm okay. You are most definitely not okay. And it's a very entertaining book. It's very, very insightful. And you're going to learn something from the very, very first page. So I like to recommend it highly. It's not that long big of a book. I just started reading it. I'll probably be done with it by the end of the week. Because I only have a little while each day to read. But it's not a big book. I think it's all of, let me see here. I think it's even 100 pages. No. It's not even 100 pages. So for those people who are fast readers, that would be an easy read. Except that this is the kind of, it's 91 pages. But what's important about this book is this is not something you want to fly through. Just because it's a thin book doesn't mean that you want to fly through it. So I highly recommend it. And one of these days, maybe we'll have a book club on the air. How about that? That'd be fun. Okay. So we're hearing from Fergus. Okay, and I would love it if you would just email me your current legal name again, please. I have no idea what this question says, so I'm just going to go right through it. I will preface this by saying that this might sound a bit crazy. Okie dokie, crazy questions. Alrighty. Last year, while taking an early morning walk, I was near a grove of trees. I have got a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, Donna. This is Nick.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
Florida. I'm good. How are you?
You're back in Florida?
No, I'm in Indiana still.
Oh, okay. But I know who Nick is. So. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm bored.
You're
beautiful
bored?
Here in Indiana. It's in the 60s, and here it is in early March.
I know. I'm in Akron. We've got the same thing. You know, I'll tell you something about this. You know, I think there have been times where it's actually warmer here than it has been in San Diego, which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm thinking,
I like
one or two things are going to happen. One of two things are going to happen. Either we're going to have snow in May, or all the germs aren't going to get killed. So I don't know.
Yes.
I interrupted you. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I said I like your new picture on the website.
Oh, thanks a lot. I just had that done in January.
It looks great.
I decided to be a blonde. They say blondes have more fun. So I became a blonde and bought a red car.
Good for you. And you moved out of Cleveland.
I moved out of Cleveland, yeah. Yeah, to swing in Akron.
Those are three good things.
Yeah, to swing in Akron. You know, Akron is a smaller city, you know, than Cleveland. So.
Yes, I know it is.
But there's a lot of theater here, which is very interesting. I haven't really had a chance to get out and do as much as I'd like, but that's coming. So how are you? What's going on?
Well, I listened to your program just briefly, and I have not made my list yet.
Uh-huh.
But, things are going okay. I'm glad I'm not in Florida anymore because of those bad influences there.
Sure.
But I'm here, and I'm kind of bored, kind of alone except for a cat, on this gorgeous piece of property out in southern Indiana. I've been putting off dealing with some issues like the IRS and some other things.
Those are tough bags of rocks to carry around, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's like the elephant in the room that I've been ignoring for months.
Right. So why are you doing that?
Just because I can't get focused on it. I don't know. It's maybe ever since I had an audit a couple of years ago, I've just been running from dealing with those kind of details, and that's not a good thing.
Who can help you?
What?
I said, who can help you?
I need somebody to help me because
trying
to do it by myself is, I don't know. I will look for that. Nobody's asked me that question before. They just said, well, get busy and do it. And it's like,
No, part of living in a joyful life is getting real clear about what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And not feeling guilty about it.
Okay.
So the reality is that, you can carry around the guilt, about not doing your taxes, for example, or your IRS or whatever. But notice that the longer you do it, the worse you feel, and you never have a good time because that's always on your back.
Yeah,
and it'll even stop you from going and trying to have a good time because you think, oh, no, I really should stay home and do it. But you don't do it anyway. I'll watch TV or do something else, right?
Right.
Yep. So then you feel even worse because, I've wasted a day and you didn't really do what you wanted to do. You did everything to avoid not doing what you didn't want to do.
Exactly.
I know. So
what do I do?
I have been where you are and am where you are in a lot of different things, and that's why I'm working through this, and that's why I'm talking about it. So the idea here is that with this particular situation, it's really about biting the bullet and finding somebody to help you. So it could be a tax person. Now you're not over 55, are you?
Oh yes, I am.
Oh, are you? Well, because ARP will help you with taxes for free.
Okay.
Just for example, so let's say that you went into you called an ARP person and you had your stuff and you say, I don't know what to do with this. I need some direction. Help me with this. Doesn't cost you anything.
Okay.
And once you get some help, then you're not in it by yourself, and it's easier to do. And if that doesn't work, sometimes just bringing a friend over and saying, "Just sit there while I do this."
Very good.
Okay, now, do you have a friend that would do that with you?
Not really.
I know, that's an issue, huh?
Well, it's an issue because it's there's I've tried to meet people here in Bloomington, and I've met some people, but they, for one reason or another, are not compatible due to their anger issues or their own weirdnesses.
So have you tried to find a metaphysical community?
You know, I've tried that, and it's kind of blocked in here. It's not easy to find.
I mean, is there a Unity Church, a Unitarian Church at all anywhere around there?
Yes, there is. There is a Unitarian Church.
And have you gone?
I actually went to a Thanksgiving dinner there.
Oh, but neat. What was that like?
Anything, anybody that was, well, it was very friendly, but as far as finding anybody metaphysically minded or talk the talk, I didn't see it. And I spoke to some people, and they, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, he's nuts. They didn't say that, but it's just, I didn't connect, let's put it that way.
Okay. Do they have any metaphysical newspapers?
Not really.
No metaphysical newspapers in Bloomington, Indiana, huh?
None.
Okay. Do they have any metaphysical
bookstores?
It's a
very pragmatic, huge university. There's no metaphysical bookstores here. There is one place where one can buy crystals.
Okay. And did you ever go there?
They sell no books. I've gone there and bought some crystals. Yeah.
Did you ask them about the metaphysical community?
I did not, but I think that's a good place to start.
Right.
I mean, I should have thought of all this myself, but for some reason it
it's more fun to call me.
Me.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's okay. I mean, it gives me something to talk about. I appreciate it. It's not a problem.
Well, I went and found a gentleman online that did tarot readings. I went and had a tarot reading with him, and then he suggested meetups. Well, I said, yeah, I went to meetups, but nothing's there. Meetups on, you know, online.
Yeah, I know meetups. Nothing.
I think people here, this is a big university town, and people are very pragmatic, and they believe in science, and they don't believe in any of the woo-joo.
Huh. I looked up metaphysical community in Bloomington, and it came up. There's one part that says, Department of Philosophy, Indiana University, Bloomington. In metaphysics, we have faculty specializing in the metaphysics of truth and a lively and friendly intellectual community in which to develop. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Hmm.
Then they have Tri-State Pagan Resources. They have a Wiccan community in Indianapolis. That might be interesting. There's a psychic fair and classes in Bloomington.
Really?
And there's Unity of Bloomington. I mean, all I mean, as we speak, is what I was doing, you know.
Okay.
So I mean, it just, you know, and that's probably that. Let me just see something. The results search came up with 13,400,000 results. And that was in 24.24 seconds. But you might want to check it out. There may be nothing there, and yet there might, you know?
Well, I have checked to a certain degree, and it seems very closed in if there indeed a community here. It certainly is not like Sarasota, Florida.
Is there? Let me ask you this question. Is there anything, what's around Bloomington?
Well, Indianapolis is an hour away.
Oh.
And there's Bedford, Indiana, which I don't suspect there's anything there to offer. Indianapolis would probably be a little
more. It's an hour away. That's tough, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting because it's, you know, it's nice here, it's beautiful, it's grounded, but it's lacking.
Well, maybe it's up to you to start it.
God.
Hey, whatever
happened,
I forget.
That's not the first thing I've started here. What? When I was in high school.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Nichiren Shoshu?
No.
Of America, NSA. It's the Nammyoho Rengikyo Buddhist. It's a Buddhist sect.
Okay.
And it was very popular back in the late 60s. And actually, as it turns out, it's a fundamentalist Buddhist sect connected to the Soka Gakkai, which is a political party out of Japan. And there were war brides sort of spreading the teachings of Nichiren, and it's Japanese Buddhism. And so I became interested in it back in the late 60s, and they somehow got me involved in it, and they wanted me to become the local, what do they call them? I don't know, local leader, group leader. And I was going to meetings in Chicago, and I got into the organization. There still is a very strong organization still here in the United States called NSA, and they got me chanting and all that kind of stuff. Well, they were requiring lots of trips to Chicago, and it just became kind of difficult because I was going to college at the time. Well, there was one point in it when they wanted me to chant to the Gohonzon to play in the brass band.
They wanted you to chant to where? Where do they want
chant
you to chant?
To the Gohonzon. They wanted me to chant to be able to start playing a musical instrument and be in their large brass band.
Okay.
Yes. So I said, well, that's interesting. I've tried to become a musician. I've tried banjo and I've tried other things. I'm just not a musician. And I just don't have it in me. And they said, oh, no, you chant to Gohonzon. You'll be able to do this. No problem. I went, yeah, okay. And, all right, I was finishing up, and actually I was a freshman and junior in college working in a store, and all of a sudden the circus came to town. And I ended up joining the circus. And they said, you're leaving. I said, yes, I am. I said, you know what? This chanting the Gohonzon to play a musical instrument is reminiscent of a musical, you know, where you can do it by the think system. And I said, that reminds me of the Music Man. And he said, really? And I said, I think I'm going to go away and join the circus. And he said, you're running away. And I said, yes. Watch me get smaller. Goodbye. No more Gohonzon. No more Nichiren. Actually, I did not destroy my Gohonzon. Bad things come to people that destroy their sacred scroll from that Buddhist sect. So I still have it. I treasure it. I have kept it safe all these years. Bad things have happened to people that have not honored it. So I have not dishonored it. But I did run away and join the circus. And left Bloomington, and when I was in college, and of course came back and finished college, but then I became a stagehand, and
the rest is history.
Ended up
eh?
With some regrets. That's a good thing. I mean, it was a good thing. It was a very positive thing. I was very creative for a very long time, and then it all came to an end.
Well, it's interesting, as you were speaking, I was listening, and I found that there's a Ho'oponopono group at the Tibetan-Mongolian Buddhist Cultural Center at 6:30, between 6:30 and 8:30 p.m. In Bloomington. Just thought I'd mention it. It's going to be on the 21st of March.
Okay. Actually, there's two sects of Tibetan Buddhists here.
Okay.
In Bloomington.
It's and the Dalai Lama has break come too. But anyway, Ho'oponopono. Are you familiar with Ho'oponopono?
No.
Well, Ho'oponopono is Hawaiian, and it's a way of clearing your energy field with forgiveness.
Wow.
And if you were to Google Ho'oponopono, what happens is the basic statement is, I love you. Please forgive me. No, actually, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And you say that, and you think you're saying it about to somebody else, but it's really you're saying it to yourself. And it's big, big medicine. I mean, it's very interesting. There's been books written about it, and it's Hawaiian, and evidently they're having the Ho'oponopono at the Tibetan Mongolian Buddhist Cultural Center. So you may want to check that out.
I will. That's great news.
Yeah. And they have reishi coffee breaks every Thursday.
Okay.
And that's at the Indiana University someplace. But
right.
I went up, and this is where I'm finding it, bloomingtononline.net.
Okay.
So,
I'm so glad I called you, Simon.
What'd you say?
I'm so glad I called you.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is that you have so much going for you, Nick, and the reality is there's no reason that you should sit there by yourself when there's other people around you. Now, albeit maybe there's not a whole crowd of them, you know what I mean? There's not maybe not thousands, but there's got to be at least, you know, 15 or 20 people that might speak your language, and out of those 15 or 20, all you need is one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so the idea here is that, you know, so the idea is that, you know, you can call ARP about your taxes. The other piece is the recommendation about, like, getting unblocked,
yeah,
is to sit down and write everything that comes up for you when you think about doing the task.
Okay.
I mean, could be fears, anger, usually fears or anger, you know, you know, what ifs, or you know, that kind of thing. And so the idea of once you get that up, and what you have to do is take a look and don't judge it. Just do, you know, stream of consciousness writing. It's like, and you can even just ask your higher self, it's like, I'm blocked to doing this and I want some information, you know, so please give me insight as to why I'm really blocked in getting this done.
Okay.
And if you can't get to writing, start just writing how you feel about it when you consider doing it.
Okay. That sounds
and
good.
So, for example, let's say it's like I feel overwhelmed and I feel inadequate, and when I feel overwhelmed and inadequate, it makes me remember such and such, and when I remember such and such, I feel such and such, and when I feel such and such, reminds me, you see what I mean?
Yes.
So the core issue is about, so the reality is it's about really getting clear about what's the real core issue, because it really quite possibly may have nothing to do with filing taxes.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because when you drill down, that's the piece, and the whole premise of living creating a life plan of joy is to drill down on all the things you're reluctant to do, to find out what the core issue is and what the truth is, because once you free yourself of it, then you can truly be free, and when you're truly free, then you're open to receiving love, first from yourself and then from others.
Wow, okay.
I mean, it sounds...
I had an interesting experience 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I listened into your show, and it was a past broadcast.
Uh-huh.
And it was, and I was on there talking from a year and a half ago. I thought, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, and so what'd you think when you were hearing yourself?
Well, I thought, well, where I was then and where I am now is certainly a different place. And I guess
that's a good thing, right?
My guess, the thing is that I had all my stuff around me then. Now a lot of that stuff is gone or in storage, and now I have all of somebody else's stuff around me because I'm caretaking their place while they ain't here.
Okay.
So it's interesting, and it's certainly a beautiful place, and I'm probably in a better situation, I mean, health-wise, and the fact that I'm still on this planet probably is a plus.
Yeah,
and spring
sure.
is springing up around me. I mean, daffodils are blooming, and I'm it's pretty amazing where I'm at. So I guess I should be very grateful and fortunate, but somehow I... Oh, it's like I'm on this... I don't know. It's like, yeah, okay, I realize all of this beauty and wonderful stuff around me, but it's not my stuff. I didn't create it, and it's wonderful. But it's like, yeah, okay, next.
What?
It's like, okay, now what? Well,
and what do you do with it?
Okay, now what's next? What do I do with it? Yeah.
Last time we talked,
I should be creating things. I should be making things. I'm indeed out tending the ornamentals in the greenhouse and trying to make things nice and neat for when the person who lives here gets back. So I'm kind of being a maintenance man. Now, what do the masters, teachers, and loved ones have for me?
Well, but that's what I was about to say. Last time we talked, they gave you some direction. I don't remember what it was, but I know they gave you some direction about creating something. And at the
yes.
time, it seems that you were excited about it. What happened with that?
Well, what it was maybe about trying to come up with something where I would be helping some lecturer or somebody that travels around the country.
Okay.
Exploring some stuff. And helping do that. Now, in the meantime, I have worked a few shows at the IU Auditorium as a stagehand, and people have come through that I have met or that have heard of me from the past, and that
okay.
have indeed offered, asked for my contact information so that they may have a project or two for me down the road. So, I gave them that information and let it go. Put it out in the universe.
Okay.
And I've heard nothing from it, but I know how the way things work, because like when the phone rings, the phone rings.
Right, but did you do anything about looking at a speaker?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I was just curious how that worked for you. You know, because it sounded like you were excited about it.
I was excited about it, but as far as where to go with that and how to pursue it, I kind of was excited at the time, but it's like, well, when it comes to reality, it's like, nah. In this day and age, I think people tend to be suspicious, especially celebrities and people giving talks. You know, they tend to be rather paranoid about people seeking them out.
No, well, then you misunderstood the instructions.
Okay.
The instructions were to contact event planning companies.
Okay.
Because when you are able to, the event planning companies are the ones who assign the crews. So should they come through, let's say, Indianapolis, they would need somebody to set the things up.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily about having to
about
really...
actually going out with them.
Say again?
It's not actually about going out on tour with them. It's just about being regionally available, is what you're saying.
It could end up to be on tour, but they have
right.
to meet you through a regional thing. But
okay.
the piece is, the other thing is they have a thing called the National Speakers Association.
Okay.
And the National Speakers Association, has a lot of speakers, and the other thing what I'm hearing is that if you're interested in doing this, you can contact the National Speakers Association and ask them what the process is to be able to do something like that for someone. It's not about stopping
okay.
anybody or saying, you know, you look interesting, you need some help. it's about, taking the initiative to go ahead and call the National Speakers Association or somebody that could kind of point you in the right direction. Just again, if you're interested, but it's only if you're interested.
No,
obviously,
interested.
You know. And so, if you want to do it,
does?
I'm sorry.
That very much interests me because doing things local theatrically tends to be provincial. Let's put it that way.
So the other way is to seek out that groups or people that might be more interested in your creativity.
Okay. Very good. I will give that a try.
Yep. Can't hurt, right? You never know.
Can't hurt, Donna.
Yep.
You never know.
If nothing else, you'll learn something from somebody, and, you know, you got your questions ready. It's like, this is who I am, this is what I do, and I'd like to be able to be associated with a either event planner or a speaker who needs someone to help them set up their stuff, because many times, you know, they can't. You know, it's like a road show. You know, they want people they can count on. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because if you know with the way it's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Then you don't they don't have to worry about trying to retrain the same person, a person over and over again.
Or trying to clue somebody in as to what that kind of event is all about, really.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I will pursue that.
Okay.
Because I have to do something that's stimulating. Other than, I've been reading a lot. I've done a tremendous amount of research. trust this government less and less. Sort of am not too happy about the way economy is here and about how unaware so many people are, but I can't worry about them. I'm just aware of it.
You know what? We're speaking just for a moment here, but I saw a very quick flash of a television program. I sometimes like to watch evangelical preachers because I think that they're interesting. I don't necessarily go along with their ideas, of course, but I like the way they present,
and I
find it interesting the way they manipulate their audiences. But
exactly,
I mean, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just telling you the reasons why I do that.
No,
and
I understand.
Sometimes some of
they're
the
very good
they
performers.
And sometimes there could be a kernel or a sentence, the way they put it makes me think, and I like that. Anyway, this program that I saw today was talking about the various Christian ministers that are joining forces with Islam. And they're looking to create a religion called Chrislam.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, it's a combination of Christianity and Islam. And I'm trying to wrap my head around it because, in my mind, it's diametrically opposed.
Well,
what do you think
there,
about
there
that?
Are some, I think that there, if it's a way of getting people to understand that they're the people that are the Islamic faith are, in their hearts, nice people, and they want a peaceful world, and that they can be friends with Christians, then it's a good thing.
Right.
I think that any kind of programming that's being done in this country that's saying that Islam and Muslims are bad people is not a good thing. There may be some things that or on a fundamentalistic level, on a simplistic level, on a non-born
thinking
level.
You can't judge
level.
A whole people by
no.
a few. That's for sure.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I got that part. But no, what I'm saying is there. What I was hearing is that there, and this may not be true. Okay, this may be just somebody talking. But it was just very interesting to me. So I'm wondering. But I'm talking about actually the two religions, Muslim and Christianity.
The two religions,
how do they come together, huh?
I don't know how they would come together. I don't know how you could get people together. The only thing is that it may be somebody trying to create that maybe as a New World Order religion, but I doubt that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. That's what they were saying. I find that fascinating. I don't like it, but I find it fascinating only because, you know, there's, you know, it just doesn't, it doesn't seem to gel right, you know.
It doesn't gel right.
Yeah.
I mean, if one were to go back, historically, and I'm not a biblical scholar, and I'm not a Talmud scholar or any of that kind of scholar, it's just that seems like the basis for, Islam and Christianity have a lot of ties that go way back, way, way back before either one of those modalities came to fruition. There are a lot of similarities of those two practices.
Which ones jump out at your mind?
I just listened to Michael Cesarian earlier today, and he was talking about something. You know, I can't remember that stuff.
You made a comment. I just want to know what you had in mind when you were saying it.
Well, there's similarities between stuff that is allegedly, you know, Egyptian, and then like Horus. Horus in relationship to Christ. And there's a lot of similarities in those two, in the histories of both of those religious modalities. As far as being a scholar in that stuff, you know, I've listened to it so much, I just can't remember it. And I've never read the Bible. I'm not an avid Christian. Tonight, I just watched the 20th Century Fox movie of Song of Bernadette. I hadn't seen it in years, with Jennifer Jones.
Okay.
I do believe in religious miracles, but it was interesting to have Vincent Price as the devil's advocate in the whole thing, as the guy kind of saying, oh, no, this never happened, and this is all wrong. I want to believe in miracles.
That's funny. Well, I guess,
when I hear
Muslim, I don't think of Egyptian and Eye of Horus. I think of, I think of
I was using that as an example.
Yeah. That's just, I was just throwing that out there because I was just curious about the take on it that you might have, so, you know.
With their Sharia law, I find it very repressive in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't understand the way that women are treated in that culture.
Right.
But I don't think there's any reason for us to hate them or to, but it's, in our culture today, we, my God, still seem to want to have us against them and that have a duality or, to create divisions where my religion is better than your religion and therefore I don't understand your religion, so yours must be bad and mine must be good. And to me, that doesn't wash. And I think that kind of thing causes more derision and more separation in the world culture.
Yeah,
being one.
No, I think that there should be peace within all religions. My personal feeling is that if it were up to me, I'd abolish all organized religions and say we're living by the law of love. You know, if it's not loving, don't do it. You know, period. End of sentence. Done.
Exactly.
You know, just makes it simple. You know, but that's...
Yeah, get rid of the dogma.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Thou shalt not, and don't do this, and you're a bad person if you do that, and, you know, it's like if you...
Yeah,
if
I'm going to kill you
in the
name of
your barometer, you're going to be okay. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. I'm not going to... Yes, and killing in the name of God is...
Pass. That's not acceptable. You know, that's not loving, you know, so, you know, it was a conversational point. So I was just curious what your take was on it.
That's very interesting that you're hearing that on evangelical TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's they were this one guy was Van Amp, I think his name was. He was really up in arms about it. He was not happy. So.
He was not happy about it. He was saying that this was a bad thing.
Absolutely, because what was happening during that, his take was that if in fact Islam and Christianity for these particular sects join together, they give up Jesus. And as far as he's concerned, Jesus is God. And now, again, I have no opinion
exactly.
either way of that. I'm just saying, I just
me
found
either.
It interesting because now you know, we have enough people being split. You know, now Christians
right.
are going to be split. Oh my goodness, you know.
Let's not bring Sharia law into this.
Say again.
Let's not bring Sharia law into this.
I don't know what that
Muslim
means.
Muslim law.
Oh God.
Well,
no.
It has to do with law that is practiced by people that are members of Islamic sect, and it has to do with judicial law. But from their point of view, and it's severely repressive to women and to homosexuals and to any kind of other group that they decide is not acceptable.
Right.
To their way of thinking. And to me, that's BS. And anyway.
Right. Well, again, I just it was a discussion point that I thought was interesting.
Interesting.
So I'm 5 minutes before the end of the program, so thank you so much for calling in.
Don, it's always
great.
Nice to talk to you.
Always nice to talk to you as well. You know, so I hope you take some of the ideas that were shared with you, other than the last one about Chrislam, you know what I mean? But the other stuff I hope helps you.
I thank you, and the daffodils are blooming, and there's always hope. And
you
I
betcha.
Will indeed pursue calling these speakers bureau. And thank you, Donna, and I love you, and I love your new picture.
Well, thanks a lot. Love you, too. All righty. Blondes are going
right.
to have more fun, I guarantee it.
Thank you. Pet your kitty for me.
I will. Thanks so much. Take care, Nick. Bye-bye. Bye.
Good night, Donna.
Good night. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it was a great, great conversation with Nick. I didn't get a chance to get to Fergus 7's question. We'll take care of that next week. And if you have any other questions, please email them to info@akashicwisdom.com. And you can also call me privately. You certainly can. My private number is 216-691-1233. If you'd like to speak offline, you have a question for the show offline, or if you'd like to schedule a consultation, or if you'd like to receive my schedule of workshops, you know I teach people how to access their own Akashic records, you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, and I'd be happy to go ahead and send that off. Probably going to be sending off a newsletter in the next few weeks, so if that's of interest to you, you can certainly email me and ask me to be put on my mailing list. I don't email them on a regular basis, but I feel a newsletter coming on, so please do email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, and I will put you on the list. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got one more thing I want to say. Tomorrow is March 12th, and March 12th, 1978, was the date that my first husband passed away, and his name was Saul. And he was a wonderful guy and the dad of my kids. And so I always remember that day. And I just want to dedicate, I know it's late in the show, but I'm going to dedicate the show to Saul Fox. He was a special man in my life. He, between the two of us and God, we created these three wonderful children that now have grandchildren. And And so 34 years ago, he passed away, and I'll never forget him. And not to leave this show on a sad note, this is maybe I'll talk about this sometime if somebody asks me, but here's a perfect example of when someone passes, it's a tragedy, and yet it ends up that it changed my life, and I wouldn't be the person I am if he were still alive. I'd be doing different things, and I'd be interested in different things. I know. I mean, who knows what my life would have been like? But it, you know, what everything happens for a reason and purpose. And one thing I know is no one leaves the planet who's not complete, whether we know it or not. So, Solly, this one's for you. I love you. After 34 years, I still miss you, and I just wanted to say that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be on the show next week. It's St. Patrick's Day. Whoa, whoa, whoa! Green beer. I don't drink beer, but if you do, I hope you have some fun. And so we're going to be talking to maybe some Irish folks. Who knows? Who knows will call? But we'll have a great show next week for you. Hope you tune in. And so we're going to close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Show. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask all those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, I close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Radio Show on March 11th, 2012, by saying, amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen. Blessings to you all. Good night, everybody.